Hare Krishna. It's Monday evening. I've just completed another day of meetings. This was the fourth GBC EC. We're here in Paris. And prior to that, there were 3 days of meetings, very productive meetings. Gopal Bhatta Prabhu from America had come here, along with our Renouveau team. Discussing New Mayapur, Paris, and the further development of the French Yatra. It looks very hopeful. And one more reminder to everyone that Rath Yatra is taking place on Sunday. The weather here is great, it's hot, and unfortunately I haven't been able to go out on Hainam, but Adhikarta Prabhu, Chaitanya Chandra, and the other Hungarian devotees, Matajis, have been going on Hainam book distribution and continuing with the morning and evening programs at the preaching center. Right now, Kavichandra Maharaj is also here, staying for a few days, preaching there. It's quite a change from a week of solid Hainam to meetings, a different energy between the two, Harinam Shakti, meeting Shakti. But the main thing is what's pleasing to Krishna, not necessarily what gives a more favorable type of energy. And our business is to give pleasure to Krishna under all circumstances. And as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Ashlishava. Sometimes giving him pleasure may be pleasurable to ourselves, sometimes not. The real secret of devotional service is to find pleasure in what gives Krishna pleasure. And then the relative nature of our own sense gratification vanishes or dissolves in the pleasure of pleasing Krishna's senses. And that becomes the real basis of love for Krishna. All right, let's see. Some of the questions on the pod here. Devotees have sent in from different places wanting to ask about, from Ashish Sharma, the importance of posture during japa. What role do the chakras play in terms of the posture during japa, if any? No, chanting Hare Krishna has got nothing to do with chakras. However, the posture in chanting helps you stay awake so you can chant Hare Krishna and stay alert. And obviously being alert in Hare Krishna is essential, especially if someone wants to be offenseless in their chanting. So two recommended poses. One is to chant while one sits on one's heels, in other words, kneeling. And the other one is to do a half lotus or full lotus, both of those lotus postures, as well as the other one I mentioned, helps devotees remain awake. And if they remain awake, then they can hear the holy name, and by hearing the holy name, the hearts become purified. We should not try to connect any type of yogic siddhi with or yogic practice with chanting of the holy name, or to equate them. That then becomes an offense to the holy name. To compare the holy name to some kind of religious activity, pious activity, yoga, or to think that my chanting of the holy name becomes enhanced by some kind of yogic practice. This is all illusion. It may be that my physical condition is better. As mentioned earlier, it's better to be awake than asleep while chanting Hare Krishna, or it's better to be wide awake than struggling to stay asleep. And that is the value of posture during japa. Now, from Australia, we have another question from Manjuali Devi Dasi. She's asking that she and her husband are considering having children. How will this accept my sadhana, as I like attending the morning programs at the temple? And I was hoping you could relay some positive examples how Maharajas deal with this, having children while staying focused in their Krishna consciousness. I'm glad that you're all enthusiastic for attending the morning program, and certainly that's compulsory if we want to remain Krishna conscious. No one can remain Krishna conscious without good sadhana. However, bringing children into this world is a physically draining experience, but more than that, more than the physical strain that it puts on the mother, children have also their own sense of regulation or unregulation, which means that babies get up every hour or 2 hours at night in order to get fed. Some children, babies don't. Some babies sleep through the night, but others do like that. There's no guarantee. And that makes in the beginning months until children become very regulated, very difficult to predict just exactly how well one will be able to attend the morning program as much as they may want to try. Of course, we can always have a program in our own homes if we can't go to the temple. And the experience is that devotees who have a real desire, grihasthas who have that desire to go regularly to the morning program, are able to, after some time, make proper adjustment. It's a matter of getting used to how their newborn functions, waiting until the devotee finds its own regulation, and then seeing how that can be coordinated with either a full morning program, a partial morning program, like going for a deity greeting, and so on. But as long as devotees maintain that desire, obviously as children grow older, then they themselves can be brought to the morning program. And if they can nicely either sleep through or also as they grow older be engaged in chanting and so on, then that becomes a common family activity. I hope that helps. And from Australia to Raja Kumar in Brazil, and it's a long question, but basically he's saying that many devotees in Gaur Lila are incarnations of gopis in Krishna Lila. Could it be said that a female form is better than a male? And for fallen conditioned souls like myself, who are completely dominated by bodily conceptions, it is a good thing to keep hearing about female entities and maybe one day becoming female. Firstly, we shouldn't make any connection between the female body in this material conditional state and the female form of the eternally liberated associates of the Lord. They are a completely different thing. If in the conditioned state we meditate upon women, we become women in our next lives, and if we're lucky, but we may end up being degraded even more than that. Our business is to think about Krishna, and it's our business is not for men to think about women or for women to think about men. Neither should we think that the material Prakriti Bhav, or the material Bhav, female Bhav, is favorable for the spiritual female Bhav. This is all artificial and material conception. What is important is the devotees, be they in female bodies or male bodies, understand their eternal spiritual identity, and that they're servants of Krishna, and by practicing the process of Krishna consciousness, that they become free from bodily designation. Once they become free from bodily designation and they chant Hare Krishna further, they actually discover their original spiritual nature, which may be male, female, or other in the spiritual world. So that is the process for attaining Siddhadeha. Everything else is sahaja, which means it's artificial. It can't be invoked by any material means. So we should never think but by some kind of material arrangement we're going to do something favorable for spiritual life, or to speak of our eternal spiritual situation. There are certain other parts of this question that I didn't include because they're incorrect, therefore I can't really answer them. But this point I think should be clearly made. And Radha Govinda Prabhu in the Ukraine asks, why does it say in Shastra to not take prasadam in front of the deities if taking prasadam is considered as prasad seva and the deity is the main member of the family? Very good question. We should recognize that there are different types of seva, and some of them are meant to be done in the presence of the deity and some are not. For instance, we're meant to chant Hare Krishna in front of the deity for the pleasure of the deity, but not to take prasadam. Indeed, every activity a devotee performs is meant to be seva, even sleeping. Why don't we sleep in front of the deity? Because it's not a clean activity, and it's not done in consciousness of the Lord or directly focusing of the Lord. The same thing takes place, for instance, when we take prasadam. When we're taking prasadam, we're absorbed in eating, we're absorbed in our own personal or self-centered needs, and therefore we're not directly conscious of the deity. In front of the deity, one should only perform activities which are meant to increase our focus on the Lord, not to take it away. Therefore, if eating prasadam takes our focus away from the deities, then we shouldn't do it. Furthermore, also by eating, one touches one's hands to one's mouth and so on, and these activities also make a person unclean. Therefore, that's also another reason why we shouldn't engage in activities, the result of which, even though taking prasadam is a pure activity, but in the process of taking prasadam, our impure bodies cause us to become unclean and thus unsuitable to be in the presence of the deities in such a condition. And a similar question to one asked earlier, and this one comes from the UK, from Purushottam Das. What is your opinion on devotees decorating their bodies with tattoos, Lord Jagannath's face, Radhisham written in Sanskrit, or Gornitai written in Bengali? For me, it's the same as engraving a ring that you will then take into the toilet. Although tattooing or even branding the body with the marks of Vishnu is accepted in some sampradayas, it's not practiced by Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Particularly something like Lord Jagannath's face. Since you tattoo Lord Jagannath's face on your body, you can't take it off. And taking Jagannath into the toilet is not a clean thing. Same thing, Radhisham, Gornitai, whether written in English, Sanskrit, or Bengali, it isn't really suchi and necessary. And after all, why do these things? What is the real benefit? Our business is to think about Krishna. Will tattooing Jagannath on our arms make us think about Krishna? Or is it some kind of fad? Is it something that we want to attract other people's attention to show them how Krishna conscious we are? What is the benefit of that for our own Krishna consciousness? We have our tilak marks where we went to put the form of the the names of the Lord on our body. And this is the way that one can actually put the names of the Lord. We put the names of the Lord via mantra on the body. And that's suitable and that's acceptable. Even one can write in tilak, and that's also described as being an acceptable thing. But that's also best washed off and not worn in toilets, so it can be washed off in the shower. There are so many things that people do, devotees do, but our question should always be that anukulyena sankalpa pratikulya vivajanam. What's anukul for our Krishna consciousness and what's pratikul, what's unfavorable? If something's done, how is this increasing my Krishna consciousness and the Krishna consciousness of others? This should be the meditation. And if it's not, then we shouldn't do it. So whether someone's going to become more Krishna conscious by having Jagannath on their arm, I don't know. It's for devotees to meditate on and consider. I hope I'll be able to make another podcast tomorrow. Tomorrow's our last day here, but Pranabandhu and a few of the patrons from the UK are coming to visit and see the situation here in Paris to analyze whether there's some particular way in which Bhaktivedanta Manor can also help Radha Parasishwar. But I'll try my best. I hope everyone has a good day and enjoys their station in Krishna consciousness, chanting Hare Krishna and serving Srila Prabhupada's mission.